It began with movement. It ended in movement. It was always dancing. Picture this, one young woman dancing alone on stage. She's in a world of her own. That world is Sligo. Listen. She sweeps, she steps, but this is no traditional ballet dancing. This is pure expression. And the first sounds we heard were the movements her body wrote. These sounds. The mysteries her body wrote. And then there were two of her, two professional dancers, each writing in dancing. Each dancing in a Sligo of memory. Look, the light spreads across the stage for new steps and new musics, new visions and new dances. Seven old ladies and eight children, all making small variations on the same gestural dance phrase, describing a landscape in Sligo, all personal landscapes to each individual dancer, memoryscapes of Sligo, old and new, professional and amateur, and all played out in the minds of the dancers. Describing a school hallway or lake waves lapping the shore. The kettle boiling. Or the little street outside our house. All personal landscapes to each individual dancer. Memoryscapes of Sligo, old and new, professional and amateur. And then music and the voices of memory sounding in the dark.
They wouldn't be as good as me.
It was a great treat.
Tell you the truth. My husband, God rest him, he dances.
I like dancing, but I have two left feet. I can't keep up with the other things. That's my problem.
Myself and my twin sister.
I remember my husband coming over asking me to dance. And I knew him to see up and down the side of the mountain. And I knew him to see. I've been dancing ever since.
And a single voice in the dark, remembering.
He was a great dancer. Oh, he was a lovely dancer. He was a great dancer. Oh, he was a lovely dancer. Great dancer. Oh, he was a lovely dancer. Great dancer. Oh, he was a lovely dancer. Dancer. Oh, he was a lovely dancer. Dancer.
A reconstruction of just some of the elements that make up The Way We Met, a dance project led by choreographer Leif O'Donoghue and composer Benedict Schlepper-Connolly at the Hawkswell Theatre in Sligo in 2011. Invited by the Bealtaine Festival, O'Donoghue sought out active retirement groups as well as children. It was the beginning of a journey not only around Sligo town and environs, but also into history, a journey into ideas of Ireland and that almost mythical, indivisible country we call the past. Soaring birds of prey, old bear Ben Bulbin's crown, wandering Angus with a fire in his head and driving brazen Fergus are easily imagined and witnessed in Sligo. It was such a powerful influence on W.B. Yeats. What surprises one, though, is just how much of the landscape evoked in his poetry, how much of it still survives today. Did it affect Benedict Schlepper-Connolly?
There's something about the ruggedness of the county on the coast and in the mountains as well that is very, very inspiring. I mean, you can't fight it, and it's the most unusual of places in a way. It's the most unusual of places because, and it's very undiscovered. I think very few people, you know, it's the most unusual of places in a sense because it combines this very, very rich colour and this kind of sense of wildness at the same time, which you don't necessarily, like, you go to Connemara and it's the windswept barrenness in a sense, but Sligo has this other, very other quality that you can see why Yeats loved it. It has this kind of fairyland magical quality to it, that I think is wonderful, and I think is very undiscovered as well. I'm always fascinated when you arrive into Sligo, and even now when they've built a new road and so on, you come across a hill on the motorway and suddenly you see the whole town and Ben Bulbham in the background and Knocknarea is to your left, and it's the most unbelievable sight, and to be that close to this kind of imagery is just very, very special for that place, I think. The light as well there, sometimes the mountains are just these shadows in the background, but they're always very present as well.
And that shadow music of a kind and shadow dancing, did it impact on Leif O'Donoghue?
Absolutely. Well, that was one of the things that really inspired the piece was, when we got to Sligo and we were living there for a while, it was, we were really struck by the beauty of the scenery, especially when you get outside of the town and into the countryside, and, all of the things that Yeats was inspired by inspired us as well. And that led to the creation of the film, because we thought, geez, we've got to get this on film. So, it really coloured the whole project.
Fade in. Sepia, out of focus landscapes. Mugs of tea. And the old ladies counting to Leif O'Donoghue's choreography. 9, 10, 11, 12. Ben Bulbin towers in the background as three retired ladies stand on the beach, and they are dancing with their arms and through their hands. They are soaring. And the children of Sligo Town play and dance in the street.
Have a bad day and I start seeing the dance at the end. Forget about all that. Why never upside or something? That actually makes me forget about anything.
I just think about him, a happy thing in my head, and he just wants me to smile and all this kind of thing. Or I'm smiling every time I'm dancing, laughing too.
Finally, it's her. And we always see her from the back. We never see her face. She has an old red skirt and one jumper. She dances across an estuary. She sleeps in an abandoned train line. She walks through empty fields. Who is she? She's our dancer. The fulcrum for the children of the present.
We met my bed and the violin sometime 2 years ago.
And the grandmothers of the future.
I used to bring my granddaughter over to the peace park where we were. And there's a little one. And she graduated
as a called Team Random.
One of the most absorbing things in watching the film and evoking the choreography is the question of detail. The camera sweeps a total vision, necessarily. The choreography shifts its multiple fragments assembled under a new law. In film, we are marvelously present. In dance, miraculously immortal. In the end, it's a choreography of history inscribed in the lined faces of the ladies and the places of Sligo, the rune of the body, the world of the ordinary, memory, pure gold. Cut.
This man in particular, he's dead and gone, God rest his soul. He brought me up and down the centre of the floor and he taught me how to dance. I've been dancing ever since.
And for composer Benedict Schlepper Connolly, did a voice prompt music? Could an accent give us musical accents? A turn of phrase, a musical phrase?
Well, I can't think of specific examples in which the voices sort of became transformed into the music. I think they actually happen quite separately, but there's absolutely no denying just the musicality of those voices. And something about the Sligo accent in particular, I've never heard it anywhere else in the world. It's so tuneful and kind of there's also a rhythmic thing in it as well, sometimes where words get pushed together as well into a little crunching sound practically.
There's a strange quality of humor and melancholy at the same time.
It's unbelievable, yeah. What did happen was, I spent a huge amount of hours editing down these interviews, because I recorded everything that we did, and so I spent a long time editing down these interviews, and a lot of the time I would be listening to things on a loop, 50, 100 times over, to try and find the exact spot at which to make the cut. Then when you listen to things on a loop like that, you really hear the rhythm of it. You could start actually imitating it by just following it in a musical sense without even thinking of them as words. And that really just highlights, the contour of those voices. I think a huge amount of what remains as a piece of music is down to the voices alone.
So I give him up for him.
The landscape of the face now shifted into the soundscape of the voice. In Benedict Schlepper Connolly's words, dance now became a lens, a microphone. But what did they see? And what did they hear in these voices? And did these voices actually shape Leif O'Donoghue's choreography?
We really wanted to make the piece about the people of Sligo. I didn't want to come in with too many fancy ideas from Dublin. I wanted to really be about them and about the landscape of Sligo and about the people themselves, and especially once we met them. And, you know, we met an awful lot of people. And there was a lot of people who couldn't necessarily be in the performance, but we still wanted their presence to be there. So that's why we had the idea of making the film and then doing the interviews, so we could capture all of these stories and bring them into the performance. Without them, you know, unfortunately they weren't able to be involved. So so absolutely, the stories that they were telling us were just incredible. Really beautiful and eloquent stories that, you know, that's what the piece really became about.
And did any of these voices, any of these stories, any of these ladies, if you like, was there any of them in particular that just instantly illuminated for you, okay, I know exactly what this is, I know exactly how this lady moves, if you know what I mean, even though the lady may be, you know, slightly infirm or, you know, because of life itself?
Absolutely, and you got a real sense, a lot of them were sort of harking back to their youth, so you got a real sense of the people that they once were, the people that they've become, and, you know, this wonderful sort of blend of, you know, past and present, and you got a real sense of them as a person, and, you know, they really illuminated when they spoke about their youth and their memories, and, you know, and that's the title of the piece, The Way We Met. You know, so many of them were sort of remembering stories of meeting their first lovers, and, you know, and how life has gone on since then. So that seemed to be the real turning point for a lot of people, meeting these lovers at Kayleigh's and whatnot. So
and we went to Macaire and we got off the dance. He said, have a great night. And we did. It was a Kayleigh dancing and we danced the whole night. But come home with me, he said. But I couldn't go, it was over 4 miles away. And my mother, Lord have mercy, she said to me, whatever you do, don't go out with anybody. You know, because I was only 17. So I danced whatever I want. And I did go out with a fella. I made a date. I did. And when I came in, I told my father, oh, I met him. He said, don't tell your mother or she'll kill you. Out of the throat. That's my first dance, Kayleigh dancing, because we didn't go much Kayleigh dancing. We weren't allowed. See, it was far away from us too. But I'll never forget it.
As ever in this intriguing project, the event comes to us in words, in the memories of the ladies, but it happens in dance, and the sense produced in between is the music. It's beguiling. If we picture that lady, we can see her by way of her thoughts.
I remember him coming over asking me to dance, and I knew him to see because he worked next door to me, and I knew him to see, but like who he was, I hadn't a clue. But I knew him to see all right. And one day we were across in the shop. I was a hairdresser in my day. And it's different today, of course, the hairdressing. And there was a shop across the road then. That was all cosmetics.